Welcome back to Through the Word. Psalm 114 today, a song about the majesty of God. We all get a sense of foreboding sometime, a hunch, like something is about to happen, like an earthquake or a big storm. Some people can just sense it. What is that? Like when animals start acting unnatural just before a natural disaster? The bird starts screeching in the cage before a hurricane, or the dog starts tearing around the house and barking before an earthquake, and then it hits. And in the wake of that ominous event, you're left wondering, how did they know? The psalmist is getting that feeling from reading the book of Exodus, and he's getting that sense that something so much bigger than himself is there, like something is about to happen. He gets that foreboding. In the same way, God in Exodus was like a supernatural phenomenon that caused the natural world to react around him. And the psalmist begins to tremble at who God is, as if he was there back then. And it hits him what they must have felt like watching God move in power. Verse 1. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob, from a people of foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel, his dominion. Israel, or God's people, were slaves in Egypt, but God freed them and brought them into a new land, and the land of Judah became God's sanctuary, or a safe space. Why is it then that everything around God in this psalm feels unsafe? They're close to God, and that should be reassuring, but it's not. It's unsettling. The God of the universe is walking through the land before them, and everything, including Israel, becomes his dominion or under his control. It brings me to the conversation between Lucy and Mr. Beaver in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Hearing Mr. Beaver describe Aslan as the King of Narnia, what he can do if he merely roars or bares his claws, she asks, "Is he safe?" To which Mr. Beaver replies, "Safe? Heavens no, child. Aslan is not safe. But he is good." And this same awe and majesty that Mr. Beaver had continues in verse 3. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. As God moves across the land, going before the people as a pillar of cloud and fire, the rivers and seas move out of his way, afraid of him. The sea looked at God and fled. Remembering back when God parted the Red Sea, it's not just that God caused the water to move by supernatural power. No, the water saw God and fled in terror. That which would drown God's people, the sea, was afraid to mess with them here, because they are under God's dominion. When I was growing up, I had a big brother that nobody wanted to mess with, so they didn't mess with me. Mess with me, you tangled with him. In the same way, the Jordan River, which stopped flowing so that the children of Israel could cross over, is pictured as seeing God approaching, going before them, and turning right back around and walking the other direction. Rivers flow with gravity, downhill, toward the sea. But in this case, the river decides to go back in the opposite direction when it sees God coming its way. It goes back to where it came from. And rivers just don't do that. Unless, of course, they encounter God. But it's not just the sea. In verse 4, the mountains leap like rams, the hills like lambs. At first, mountains leaping like rams sound like a joyous occasion, like six lords a-leaping. But the psalmist has read about the mount where God met Moses and delivered the Ten Commandments. That mountain shook and quaked in the presence of God, knocking loose boulders and stones off the side of the mountain. They begin to hit the rock shelves below, cascading off the sides of it, flying out into the air, cracking as they land, flinging outwards like mountain goats as they hit the rocks below, and springing back up into the air. The mountains leaped like rams and the hills like lambs. The psalmist knows that the natural world responds appropriately to the presence of the Lord. So he asks in verse 5, "Why was it sea that you fled? Why, Jordan, did you turn back? Why, mountains, did you leap like rams? You hills like lambs?" The answer, the presence of the Lord. Creation is wise. It knows its maker. The only thing in all creation that doesn't know to give God his due is man. Why do animals recognize the coming disaster? How do they know that it's coming before it hits? Nobody really knows. Scientists have just measured it. We just know that they do. The bigger question is, though, why don't we recognize God? What does creation recognize that we don't? Romans says that all creation groans, being subjected to the bondage that human beings have brought upon the world. Yet they know God. The birds, the dolphins, and all the animals know that God will one day liberate them from the effects of our sin. But again, why don't human beings? The psalmist is still in awe of who God is, watching creation buckle in his presence. Therefore, he charges us in verse 7, "Tremble, earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Tremble, earth." What does he mean by earth? He's not speaking about the planet or the dirt, but about mankind, who is taken from the earth. Remember, Adam meant earthy, or from the ground. So here the psalmist addresses man as the earth. We are carbon-based life forms made up primarily of dirt and water. The water knew to flee, the earth knew to buckle. Tremble, you earth, you dirt clods with souls. Tremble at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the great God of Jacob. Mankind is the only part of the creation that doesn't recognize God for who he truly is. We may be at the top of the food chain, but are so ignorant and yet arrogant, a bad combination. Like the animals who recognize an ominous event approaching, man is exhorted to tremble in awe at the approaching meeting with his maker. If we don't tremble in awe at the Lord now, we will tremble in fear before him on the day of judgment. And this God's very presence in verse 8 turned the rock into a pool, the hard rock into springs of water. Even the hardest rock is liquidated into a pool of water before him, just like the hardest of hearts can be melted. But God melted that rock and gave springs of water to refresh their souls, not to judge them. And that's God's heart for you. This amazing God whose very presence could kill us, this God wants to bless you, not curse. Tremble, earth. Stand in awe of him. And don't run away like the sea or the Jordan. Instead, run to him. Make him your sanctuary. Give him dominion over you. Make him your safe space today.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.